guys, welcome back to Unleashed. And remember, we are the resistance. And wow, I'm back. Kevin?
You are. And you know what? I'm going to start with a question. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is embarrassing, but I'm willing to put myself out there.
Okay.
I have not listened to early enough episode to know what the resistance really means. But we but are the resistance.
That should have been a prerequisite.
I know. I told you I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I've listened to a lot of episodes, but I apparently have not listened to that one.
Yeah. The whole thing is about Christ being in us, living out of that place against evil, who we're really called to be. We are the resistance. We're living out of Christ in us in a world that desperately needs to know who he is, who we are in him. And yeah.
That's perfect for today.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, man, it's good to see you.
You too, buddy. And you sound great.
Oh, I feel so much different. It's amazing. You know, my surgery, for those of you that don't know, I had quadruple bypass 2 weeks ago Friday, September 5th. And so Kevin came over last week. He goes, man, let's do a podcast from your house. So we're there again. We're sitting at the kitchen table in my house. And wow, I mean, I'm starting to be able to walk. I'm only allowed to lift 10 pounds, but I'm lifting 10 pounds. You better believe it.
Every bit of it.
Every time I can.
Bring those 10-pound dumbbells over.
But you know what I didn't do this week? I always do it. I start the podcast with, say when.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it.
You know, you didn't do it last week, and I did. So that you maybe that probably just threw you off completely.
Well, you know, here's what I was thinking about. You know, for those of you, I think I might have mentioned why I do that, but I want to give a little backstory. And if I did this last week, forgive me, I was on serious pain meds.
I don't think we did talk about this.
Well,
I just listened to the podcast, so.
Well, so I was 2 weeks ago, early, like at 5 in the morning, we're almost to the hospital. We had to be there at 5:30. And on the way down there, you know, you can imagine, I only found out a few days beforehand that I had to have surgery.
Yeah.
This open heart stuff.
Yeah.
And my mom's words always would come back to me in trying times saying, you know, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
But the other thing that was funny was when they were wheeling me in, they had given me some injections and I'm about to go, you know, under, and they're wheeling me into this room to cut me open, right? And here's the two things that went through my head. The last memories I have isn't like, hey, count backwards from 100, you know, right? It was this too shall pass. And then I remember thinking to the enemy, you don't get to win. And I went, say when.
So you did talk about this on last week's podcast, but I want to hear it again.
Well, that's all right. Well, it's just, I remember that. I'll never forget it.
It's cool.
Because it was like, and if you've seen the movie Tombstone, which I watched about 3 days ago, I had to see it again. You know, you've got Val Kilmer, he's Doc Holliday, and he's about to get into a gunfight, and he's just tapping on his pistol, right? He goes, say when.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't beat me.
Yeah.
And I think I said this last week. I had a buddy get a hold of me, and he says, Brent, you got to remember this. Until Jesus calls you home, you're invincible. Mm. So that's kind of where that all came from. And so what's really amazing, though, this week with Charlie Kirk and seeing that, it's how tragic. Because that was the day I got home from the hospital. It was a week ago Wednesday. And I lost it. Stacy and I just, first thing I turned the TV on, there it is. And I mentioned that before. But it's so true that until Jesus says, it's over.
Right.
Well, and that's the beginning, right? That's not, it's
right.
Over. But until he calls you home, you are invincible. So you talk about being the resistance.
Yeah, he was definitely the resistance.
Yeah, and all of us are.
Yep.
We just have to understand who and whose we are.
Yep.
And then step into that. Because what has got me going right now, my voice has even changed since you got here.
Mm-hmm.
It's your why. That thing within you, Stacy said to me this week, she goes, every time that you have talked to someone on the phone or you've been working on the book or whatever it is, she goes, you perk up. And I'm like, that's what drives me.
Mm.
You know, and I'm going to tell, you know, a verse later we have, you know, where Paul is talking and he talks about those things. You know, he also talked, you know, count it all joy, all that kind of stuff, to live as Christ, but to die as gain. But, you know, the whole thing of walking in and being able to say to the enemy, say when.
Yeah.
Because God's got this.
Yeah, amen.
How exciting is that?
Amen. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. It's exciting to be here. And I'm also super stoked. Hey. Whatever. I'm super stoked that I don't have to lead these alone.
Yeah.
I was
thinking it was going to be at least 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I know. You were teeing me up. Worked out great.
You know, you hear all these stories, right? And for you guys that are out there, I want to say something real quick. This is my pitch to you. If you're having any kind of chest tightness, whatever it is, and you don't think it could be you, I didn't think it could be me. I work out 6 days a week. I was in really great shape. Even at my age of 64, I was in really great shape. Buddy of mine got a hold of me. He had a heart scan done. His calcium score was really high. He had to have a stent put in. I'm thinking, well, man, that can't be me. My score was almost double what his was. So, you know, I want to encourage you. It's worth getting the heart scan. I know you might feel afraid. Well, what if I find out that my score is that? Well, what a blessing if you find it now. I didn't have a heart attack. I'm really lucky.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, when he even said to me, I can't believe you even walked in here.
You're for sure not just lucky.
Yeah.
You're blessed.
That's blessed. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Well, you know, right now as we're doing this, we're recording this on Sunday. This will be released, you know, on Monday when you're listening to it. But the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service is on. And right before you came over, I was watching Chris Tomlin. You know, he's up there singing. Mm. And I don't know how many people are in that stadium inside, like 40,000. But they're all, you know, raising their hands and they're worshiping.
Yeah.
Military. I saw military with the brass, everything with their hands up. And there's something happening.
Yeah.
You know, we know evil has been here since the beginning of time. And he's always trying to thwart everything we are doing. But evil, again, doesn't get to win. It's like Jesus said, say when. How awesome is that?
That is very cool.
You can't. You and I said last week, it was kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader. You know, he says to Darth Vader, you strike me down and I will become even more powerful or whatever it was he says. Yeah.
This week we have, well, I'm going to go back to the 3 mile an hour thing for just a minute. This week, well, maybe the last 6 weeks or 7 weeks, I've just been crazy nut job busy. Just, it's been crazy.
Yeah, you've been nuts.
I literally have been calling Brent, hey, I got like 5 minutes during this time slot. Can you make, and I'm asking him if he can make it work, which I'm now kind of cracking up about because he's just like, yeah, I'm like, whenever you want, I'm just here at the house.
Yeah. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the bathroom and eat.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Right. But this next week, it really slows down for me. So I'm eager to take that breath on my own and different type of taking a breath. You know what I mean? But I've been convicted since we talked about Jesus at 3 miles an hour, because I know I'm not operating at the speed that allows me to pay attention to people, listen to the Lord, be in his word, you know, all the things that I would like to do more of or spend more time in, you know, I'm sacrificing to get other stuff done that's just temporal. So,
and if you don't know what he's talking, maybe you're just tuning in for the first time. We did a podcast about a month ago about how Jesus walked at 3 mile an hour. You know, we drive at 60, 70, 80 miles, 90, some of you, miles an hour, and we miss everything along the way. And one of the things that we'll encourage in the new book, Unleashed, that when we're going to tell you, we'll tell you real quick about that.
Yeah.
You know, the Unleashed book, we've been saying it's going to be delayed a little bit because what we end up doing is we are going to make two books out of it, one for men and one for women. So it's going to take a little longer time.
Yep.
Now, the other one that I'm working on called The Big Five Man Killers, that one is almost done, which is really great. But in the Unleashed book, we talked about how we want you, when you begin that book, is to take a walk, maybe a half mile, whatever it is, that you would normally be driving, and just walk it. See what you notice, see what you smell, hear your curiosities. And, you know, Kevin, you know, there are seasons where we are crazy busy.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes a part of what your life can be like. But that's why God gave us Sabbath. That's why he lets our bodies know, when do you need to slow down? And I was, you know, it's kind of funny because we would go to get together to write on this new book. And before we would ever start, we would just say, hey, let's slow down.
Yeah.
How was your week?
Take a deep breath. Catch up.
Yeah.
Pray, then start.
It's
but this
hard
last 4 weeks, I'd have been like, Brent, let's go.
I know. And that's part of it. We're like, how do I fit this gallon into a quart jar?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, dude.
Wow. My wife said the same thing to me yesterday. She's like, you need to slow down. And I thought, well, I like this pace. I really do. But I also know that it's taking advantage of my wife, my friends, my whatever, because I know that I'm also, hey, it's all about me right now. So it's my schedule. Tough turkey.
I'm doing nothing at home, and I'm feeling like it's all about me because everybody is saying, how are you doing? How are you doing? And my wife's, you know, trying to take care of all these things, and she kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, you don't think about that.
No, you don't. So I'll tell you how about, speaking of wives getting lost in the shuffle, fellas, do not repeat after me on this one. Do not do what I did. This last week, my company put in an AI lab here in Anderson, Indiana, so that maybe those that are less fortunate or less, you know, able to access AI and be able to learn from it and use it to their advantage can have access to it.
That's awesome.
So we had the ribbon cutting on Thursday, and, you know, Corey spoke. He's my brother. He's the guy that runs that facility overall, the big facility. Handed the mic to me, I spoke. Handed the mic to Caesar, he spoke. Do you think I thanked my family?
Oh, you're so focused on everything
else. I was
else.
Just thinking about the lab and getting people in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, normally I would, of course, be like, my wife's amazing. And afterwards, like later, she was smart and held off until we were well done with the events of the day. And she said,
I feel it.
You know, you didn't thank me or Talon or Brandon. All three of us came and helped you get that place ready. And she didn't say it in a bad way. She just wanted me to go. She wanted me to slow down.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, it was part of it. So then last night, I was a celebrity chef at Community Chefs, which is a big fundraiser every year. And there's like 75 chefs, and we all prepare one dish. And then we have to prepare enough servings for 36 people, but it's really 144 quarter-size servings. So I made what's called peppered strawberries, and it's great. Just look it up. For those of you that are interested, just look it up. I did mine with cake, and then I did a mascarpone instead of ice cream, because I'm there an hour and a half early. Ice cream would have just melted all over the place.
You're saying all the stuff I can't eat right now, you know.
Am I?
You're killing
me. Can you have strawberries?
Well, I can't. I have to be careful of my sugar because I have type 2 diabetes. And with the surgery and the medications, I have to be careful.
Yeah, black pepper?
Probably.
We can have the black pepper then.
Yeah, that'll be great here. Yeah. Put it on your, when I was a kid, if I said something that wasn't right, now this is that generation, my mom would put red pepper on my tongue.
Oh, yeah.
I had to say something. I can only remember once. She didn't like, it wasn't a normal
better
thing.
Better than soap. I'd be like, what did I do wrong? Give me more of that hotness.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah. Let me finish up, Brent, by telling you this. I made dang sure last night that my wife got credit for being my sous chef and right next to my side. Oh, yeah.
Feel that, man. When you said that, I was like, I've done that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you
don't, sucks.
Well, you're so busy with making sure everything is covered.
Yeah, and you're thinking about a million things. Yeah. And that one, really the two things. Praise the Lord, Caesar said something about God. I didn't do that either. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I was just thinking about the lab and all the people that were there that wanted to get into the lab. And
so, there's this television
show. Praise God
for
partners.
Have you ever seen The Five at 5 o'clock?
No.
It's a new show. And there's one guy on there that everybody gets right into business. What's happening, right, around the world, politically, all this stuff. And when they ask him to kick in for the first time, the first thing he always says is, it's good to be back with you guys again. And then you can kind of feel it around the table. Nobody else was doing that. You know, it's just kind of, yeah.
Well, they're there for the countdown. It's like 5,
right.
4, and then they're like, oh, let's go, you know. And
yep. Well, because it's like this, you know, we're still doing small talk on here. There are some podcasts I get on, I go, I don't want to hear the small talk. Like, I'm a Steelers fan. Sorry, don't hate me.
Oh, yeah, but I'm done. I'm out. Where's the door?
I know. I grew up in Pennsylvania. You know, it's kind of...
Still.
But it's I won't count how many fingers my rings would fit on the Super Bowl. But anyhow, but, you know, it's so funny because, what was I just going to say? I just went blank.
Small talk.
There's podcasts about the Steelers, and I'm like, I'll fast forward 3 minutes, and they're still not talking about what I want to hear. And I think maybe that's what's a little bit different about this, because this podcast is about relations. It is about learning to walk at the speed of Jesus, stopping. How are you? How was your week? What were your wins this week? What did you learn this week? Those are even like coaching questions, but they're things that we can be saying to each other. You know, when I'm working with a client just like you, and I don't want to say client, I don't like that word, but with someone that we're working with coaching.
Yeah, partner.
Tell me your wins. You know, tell me your wins this week. Because we can beat ourselves up and focus on our losses. But the win, you might look at it as it being a loss, but you can say, but what did you learn from it? You just said it. You know, I was so busy with everything that I forgot to fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
But walking at the speed of Jesus causes you to slow down. So, you know, I was in the hospital for, I don't know, 6 days, whatever it was. And I get home and the whole thing with Charlie Kirk had happened. And it was rough. You know, I'm thinking, man, it's going to be so, I can't go. I love to deer hunt. I won't be able to do that. I missed my elk hunt because I wasn't allowed to drop. Couldn't have done it anyhow now. And all of a sudden, it was Thursday. We get this ring on the doorbell, and my wife opens up the door. Now, I knew I had a buddy that was going to be coming, but I didn't know that who came with him ended up coming in. It was my old traveling partner, Stephen Curtis Chapman. Stephen and I had a band back in the 80s called the Chapman Henderson Band before he went solo, and he was locally doing a concert tour, and my buddy Eric Horner, who grew up with Steve, and they came over and just hung out, and when opened the door, there's Steve, and he walks in the room, just the two of us off to the side alone, and the first thing he does, he just looks at me and he goes, man, what in the world? I said, yeah, go figure. He puts his arms around me, you know, gently, and gives me a hug, and he says, man, tell me what's going on. for the next almost 2 hours, we sit on the couch in the living room. You know, we're all in there. And, you know, it might seem, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain. It's so funny because Steve and I were friends. We toured together. I was in his wedding. I was one of the groomsmen, right. And he's just my friend. But the first date that Stacy and I actually had together was in Banker's Life in downtown Indianapolis. You know, that's the big, massive stadium. And, you know, I went backstage. I know that sounds really cool, but it was just, why not? He's my friend. And so we got backstage and we hung out. And for her, that was like, wow, you know, she grew up listening to his music. I can't believe I'm here. And now he's sitting in the living room. But I think we talked about it afterwards. I said, what was that like for you? And she goes, he's so kind and gentle and he prayed for you. And it just, I said, yeah, that's Steve. Mm. And I think you think about someone who's busy and yet he can walk at the speed of Jesus. Yeah. And I'm not trying to bring up anything political, but when I think about Charlie Kirk too, whether you liked his what he had to say or not, he was still trying to make time for people's viewpoints. Tell me why you think that way, why you believe that way. And I think it's so important for all of us to keep our heads in the game. You know, those friendships, maybe some of you guys out there, politics has divided you guys, and you've forgotten love is the key to everything. It's not whether you're right or whether you're wrong, because if you have to win, you've already lost. But I think that was just really good, you know, to see him take a break and just stop. And I even said at one point, I said, dude, I said, I know you got to get back for sound check. And he looked at his watch then, not before I said that. He goes, yeah, I probably do. And I said, but man, I just thank you. I can't believe you came over here. Mm. That was really meaningful. But that's keeping your eyes on the spirit rather than the things of the flesh.
Yeah. You know, I don't know Stephen, but he seems like when you hear his music, you hear his heart.
Yeah.
And so you just know he's probably not a jerk.
Well, and if he comes out with a song, I told him, I said, you have my permission to use Until Jesus Calls Me Home, I Am Invincible.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Hey.
Maybe I'll still write it, but.
Yeah, either way.
It'd be cool if he did.
Hold on, I'm having AI to write it right now. Right. Beating you to the punch. Shut up. Search Brent Henderson. Write a song like Brent Henderson about.
Oh, man, there was a song that I wrote years ago when I was watching this whole Charlie Kirk thing, and here's the chorus. It says, and I will still be waving the next time I see your face. The tears will turn to laughter, for the pain will be erased. So for now, we'll say a goodbye. For tomorrow, we'll say hello. And I will still be waving the next time I see your face. Mm. And it's the whole thing of, yes, this lifetime will pass. But for the believer, I will see you again. There's the hope. And to see our Savior. Mm. So the enemy's in your face. Just look at him and go, say when.
A little bit reminiscent of Michael W. Smith's Friends.
Yeah, a little bit. Friends Are Friends Forever.
Such a great song.
I said that to Stacy the other day, and I was thinking about it. I didn't even make, she made a post about it. I didn't make a post, but there's that picture of there's several pictures we took here, but we just got our arms around each other in there. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, friends are friends forever.
Yeah. And we had mentioned this even on a previous podcast, you and I, maybe within the last two or three, that just something about guys, and I'm not saying I haven't seen it in women, but I see it so significantly different in guys. I mentioned even my buddy Dave Bailey. I can be away from him for 20 years. I guarantee when I see him, we're
like 10
seconds away from nothing ever having happened. Yep.
I'm watching Tombstone. And you know, you think this is a guy movie, shoot him up, and Stacy's in there watching me. She kept looking over at me, and when I get to crying, at least right now after the heart surgery, because I'm being careful, my stomach will start to twitch, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to hold it back, and you can start to hear me sniffle. I probably did that 20 times, and you're going, why would you do that in Tombstone? Because it's about brotherhood.
Yeah.
It's about laying down your life for your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm watching it this week. I have it on where's my phone? I literally have it on my calendar for tonight.
Oh, it's awesome, dude. You've seen it.
I've seen it. I love it. But I'm like, you know, it'd be fun to refresh my memory. And my children haven't seen it. And they're adults now. So I kind of have that, you know, you think about what are those movies that, you know, I wish my kids would have seen or get to see with me now or whatever. Like The Matrix. It's like 20 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it hurts me a little bit to say that out loud. But
I know. Mr. Anderson.
I'm going to take a left turn.
Left turn, Clyde.
An uphill left turn.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell a story.
All right.
You committed me to this story thinking that I was going to be doing 4 or 5 weeks on my own. And so I said I would eventually share
my story. Oh, yes. So I do remember this.
Here it comes. You know, when you are preparing to hunt, and then when you get up in a hunt, especially for this particular story, we're up in the mountains in Colorado. You know, you have your base camp. We had spike camps, and then we were hiking beyond those spike camps, obviously, looking for some awesome elk. Well, number two knocked on my door. You know, I was almost touching cotton, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Don't make me laugh. It's hurting my chest.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Well, you don't laugh at my jokes then.
All right.
All right. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, you think you eat enough cheese and crackers until you have to get past the cheese and crackers. And let's just say, fellas, I had to push harder than I wanted to push.
Oh, no.
And stars and then darkness.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, I fell over backwards, but I fainted right there in the middle of taking a number two.
I think we're all asking the question, did you miss?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's why I said, thankfully, I fell backwards. I think if I'd have fallen forwards, I don't know.
Well, true story.
I ended up clean. Let's put it that
there
way.
There was a kid when I was growing up, and we were both pretty young. We were in our early teens, and our dads had taken us hunting, and he had like one of those big full body, like snowmobile suits. It was orange, because you had to blaze orange on, and he had one of those suits on. And he told his dad that he had to do a number two. And his dad said, well, go over there and make sure that you dig a hole and cover it up, and all that kind of, make sure you get your suit out of the way when you're doing it all that.
Yep.
Well, he comes back over, and they're standing there talking, and his dad's like, did you step in it or something? He goes, no. I guess I was real careful. I kind of leaned up against a log and covered everything with my foot. And he says, I'm still kind of smelly. Checking his boots. He goes, no, there's nothing. He goes ahead and pulls his hood back up over his head. He had a nickname for him. He may still carry that nickname to this day. I don't know.
Poop head?
Yeah, basically. Poop head. He said poop. Yeah.
No, you know, I tell that story because I love the vulnerability you bring to this podcast. I have done my best to avoid telling that particular story, but it fits. It is, but it fits with this idea that we've been talking about over and over and over about just, are we willing to be open and honest and candid? And, you know, do we recognize our identity is not tied up in the fact that we fainted while pooping?
You're right. Well, so this is, here we go, another left turn, Clive. This is actually connected because we're talking about, is our identity wrapped up in something else so much that we're afraid to be vulnerable, honest,
right,
fun?
Right.
No, we have to be perfect and we can't say this or that. And I think we can become so focus on perfection that we miss life. We don't walk at 3 miles an hour. You know that there had to be humor within the disciples. They're cracking up. If you've watched The Chosen, you know, they kind of try to shed a light on, these were human beings. These were guys.
Yeah.
These were fishermen and carpenters. You got all this. These are guys, right? And they're going to talk about real life. Yeah. I mean, it is real. But if we can put so much focus on having to be perfect, then we miss Jesus being perfect. And our need for him and that ability to be able to listen to him when he's speaking. Because, you know, one of my biggest fears is that AI, for some people, can become their God. They don't go to God first. They begin to go to that to get their answers. And I think sometimes when we try to be so perfect with things, we rely on our own holiness rather than God's holiness. And it is Christ in us is where our holiness, you know, that it's Romans 3:22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. So yes, at our core, we are holy because he is in us and he is holy. But I was thinking, so let me just kind of share a story. I want to go back to kind of some of the early episodes I used to do because I used to tell these crazy stories. And
yeah.
I know some of you kind of go, man, tell a few of those. I'll abbreviate this one. But my buddy Wade and I, we were fishing out of in Cook Inlet up in Alaska, out from a place called Deep Creek. And you've got some volcanoes on the other side. It's about 30 miles across Cook Inlet. You've got Mount Redoubt and Mount Liliamna and different ones. But we had a Zodiac, like the Navy SEALs use, made of Hypalon, that rubbery material. And this one morning we get up and we went about 6 miles out. You know, you've got these riptides and they are powerful. I mean, you're talking these things like changing 30 feet or more, you know, every, you know, 12 hours or whatever. And they're really, really strong. So we were trying to get out there, timing it when slack tide would happen so that we could get to the bottom to fish for halibut. But when we're going out there, it's so foggy. You can barely see your hand. Well, by the time we got to fishing, it had cleared up a little bit. We knew where we were, but we couldn't even see the volcano on the other side. I mean, that's massive. We could see about 30 yards. And so we're fishing, and you know, I dropped down to the bottom, and I lunked into what I thought was this massive halibut. You know, I've caught halibut. They're 100 pounds, and easily you're catching 10, 15. We call those chicken, you know, chickens. You throw those back. But, you know, 30-pounders you're keeping, 100-pounder, you know. But I thought this one had to be 250 plus. And I'm fighting this thing for 30 minutes. And it's so foggy up, but I've got my knees braced against the side of this Hypalon material so I don't fall overboard. And I'm just pulling with everything I can, trying to get this halibut up. You know, I'd reel a little bit, slowly lift, you know, reel on the way back down, slowly lift this thing. And my buddy Wade in the back, you know, he's got his line in because he didn't want to get tangled up, and he's watching. And after about 25 minutes, I hear him say, "Brent, cut your line." And at first I was like, "Why? What do you think? I got a snag or something? We know it's a fish." And then I hear the urgency in his voice. Mm-hmm. He goes, "Brent, cut the line now." And I look up for the first time because I had been so focused on the glory of this big fish, right? I was so excited and, you know, I'm going to have bragging rights. This is a monster. And I look up and I see this freight liner coming at us. Now, when you can only see 30 yards and you're seeing, I cut the line, he hits the tiller, we're out of there. I mean, the wake of that ship as it's going out, we're bouncing around. But I was so focused on what I wanted. You know, hey, this is going to be a prize. I can brag. I can have pictures. This will be great stories for
a podcast.
Yeah, right. But back then, it wasn't a podcast, but it was definitely, you know, working with men and have great stories. But I wasn't listening to that voice saying to me, "Brent, pay attention. This is not good for you." And it's so important for us. I think we've got to remember something. That whole walking at 3 mile an hour, you don't hear God's voice sometimes when you're going 100 mile an hour with your schedule so filled, because in that moment it can become all about us, what we want, what our goals are. And one of the things with purpose that we talk about in this new book we're talking about, one of the last things we talk about in the purpose pyramid is that our purpose is made to profit others. And it's so easy to kind of get that back around. Hey, I got this new book. I got this and that going on. And the Holy Spirit's saying, "Slow down, Chief. I need you to smell the roses for a minute. I need you to love the one that's in front of you." And so about 2 days after I've been home from the hospital, and I kind of want to start to bring this back down with this, there was a man that reached out to me through text. I had never met this man. He was actually friends with someone who is one of my sponsors, ministry sponsors in the outdoor industry, Real World Wildlife Products, by the way. That's who I was talking about. But he is really good friends with those guys. And he reaches out to me and he goes, "For about a year and a half, the Holy Spirit's been reaching out to me to reach out to you. I hope you're not upset. I got your phone number from one of the guys from Real World, but I just felt like I needed to talk to you." And I was like, "No, that's not a problem at all." He says, "I'll call you tomorrow." Mm. He says, "Before I do, I want you to watch this video." And he sent me a video, and it was a video clip of him. And it's fairly long, probably 20, 25 minutes long. Very well made. But in the video, he talks about losing his son. Mm. And, you know, his son had taken his own life. And he said, "Brent, I had just started listening to your podcast when this all happened." He said, "Whether I was mowing or whatever I was doing, I'd be putting this on." He said, "I've listened to every one of them, some of them multiple times, because that's the only thing that got me through."
Wow.
I was home like 2 days from the hospital, and how quickly the purpose that God puts us within us to profit others, meaning get into their world, love on them where they need it. Everything began. He was trying to love on me at the same time because he knew my heart surgery. But being able to love on him and just say the words, "I am so sorry. What's that been like for you?"
Yeah.
That's walking at the speed of Jesus. And he's been doing the same thing. He keeps reaching back out to me. "How's your recovery going?"
Yeah.
"You got this."
You're getting some interesting opportunities to reciprocate already, because you have another neighbor nearby who had mentioned to me he was praying for you while you were at the hospital. And then we find out that yesterday his brother got struck by
a car. I've got a neighbor, and he was mowing. He's in his mid-70s, and he volunteered to mow my grass because right now I can't do anything. And so he's mowing the grass when Stephen Curtis, he's got his hat on, his glasses, kind of incognito, and he comes to the door, and he goes, "Yeah, I saw this guy kind of like trying to get around and like being seen," and we kind of laughed about it. And I told him who it was. And he's like, really? You know, and then is what's funny is his brother had been visiting him. And I heard Stacy out in the driveway talking to somebody. Well, his brother had come over and was basically asking about me. And when you know, less than 24 hours later, his brother is out here and he gets hit by a car. He's in ICU. So yeah. Keep him in your prayers if you
want. Yeah, lifeline, right?
He was lifeline down to Indianapolis.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's...
But like I said, I mean, it's unexpected, but what... This is going to sound horrible, but what a joy to be able to pray for others who've been praying for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that part's a joy. You don't want to have the situation occur, but obviously getting to reciprocate is a wonderful thing.
But think about, you know, the things that cause us to slow down. We look at these sometimes as inconveniences, right? But I want to take us back, and I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is, I mean, everything we just talked about, listen to this in context. Now, this is Paul. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a message of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we can say to the enemy, say when.
I love it.
Wow. Yeah, this is good stuff. Well, man, Kevin, thank you for bringing all your stuff over here.
I like move in for an hour when I come. I've got this suitcase full of all the equipment, but it works great for this situation.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get this other book finished.
I'm going to make you come to the office with me next week since you're, I'll come pick you up.
Well,
you're going to be able to drive soon, right?
October 5th.
Yeah, so one more week.
Yeah.
No big deal.
We're getting close.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Guys, it's an honor from both of us to you to be able to serve you and encourage you. And no matter what you're going through this week, I want you to remember something, that you have what it takes. Christ in you is everything you will ever need. He's asking you, are you willing to walk at the speed of Jesus, to love those around you, to get your focus on what is happening in their lives, to share his love with them? And the only way you can do that is when you know where your one true identity comes from, and that is Christ in you.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want you to know that it's not about having to go to church and going down to the altar. You can do it right now. You can give your life to him and accept him as Lord and Savior by saying, Father God, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to repent of my sins. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, and you took all of my sins away. I want to give my life to you. I want you to wash those clean that I can have eternal life with you. It's that easy. If the Holy Spirit is moving you, you'll feel it. You will know it. And here's the beautiful thing, and I want to end with this. When a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous, dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. We'll see you next time.